Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as He is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in His Word that He would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me today is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing blessed in the Lord.
Well, praise God. You may have noticed I did not add with me as always, because always isn't happening today, because Pastor Joe Schimmel is actually going to be preaching in Idaho at one of our home churches there in Idaho. And just so you guys know, our little home fellowship, our home church is here at Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, but we have a number of groups in Texas, in New York. We love you guys, James, Mary, Keith, all the group out there in New York, and James in Texas. I'll actually be out there, I believe, the weekend of September 22nd. I'm not sure if I'll be preaching Friday or Saturday, but I'll be preaching one of those times down in Texas, or I don't know if that's up or not from here. I'd have to look at a map, but really excited to be able to go meet with these different little pockets of fellowships that we've been growing through our live feed audience. And Joe is going to be preaching in Idaho this upcoming Sunday, I believe, or last Sunday.
That's news to me, so I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So Joe's going to be preaching at the little home group there. So guys, we do have those pockets, and we have, if you go to blessedhopechapel.org, you can go there and check out all the different little groups that we have that are meeting together, that are fellowshipping together, that are holding each other accountable, and that are digging into the Word, or people that are like-minded with us when it comes to doctrine. And we are so excited about those groups. I wish you could understand. We actually had the group from Texas, James Jackson and his family. They actually came out to Israel with us. He's actually come out here and visited. We love their family. My six-year-old likes to chase his daughters around everywhere. It's awesome, guys. So please get involved. And if you guys don't have a home fellowship, you know, you guys can always share in the live feed. But I always encourage you guys, get involved in some sort of group. Get involved with someone with a leadership role. Fall under someone's leadership, just as Hebrews chapter 13 tells us to. But that has nothing to do with the show today. Today's show, what I want to talk about, and Tony, maybe we can have a little back and forth, but I wanted to give somewhat of a presentation of how to share the gospel when a JW knocks on your door. Now, I believe, and I already talked with Joe, that we're going to do probably a whole four episodes, an entire week's worth of teachings on Jehovah's Witness. So that is not going to be the point of this episode. Okay, I'm not going to go into the history of Charles Taze Russell, how he can't really read Greek and Hebrew. I'm not going to go into all their false prophecies, because let me just be honest with you, it's great to have that knowledge, and that's something I've studied for a number of years because I'm passionate about this subject, and I encourage you to study those things. But a lot of times, those are cursory things that you talk about when a JW comes to your door. If you've ever had a Jehovah's Witness knock on your door, guess what? You have probably, if you know your Bible and start sharing with them, you've probably heard that they have an appointment they're getting to if they start to realize that you know God's Word. And I'm sorry, I know that's a characterization, but that has simply been my personal experience over and over and over again as a believer. So what I want to do is not give you an entire doctrinal thesis of what they teach or the history of the Jehovah's Witness, but I literally want to go through where I like to go, okay? What I like to do when they come knocking at the door. Now, I've been saved now for over a decade, and praise God, I've been witnessing to Jehovah's Witness for just about that long. Now, when I first came to Christ, that Wednesday, I believe, or maybe the following Wednesday, after I came to Christ, I had Mormons knocking on my door, and I began a relationship with a couple of guys and began sharing with them from God's Word what I knew about God's Word, and began digging into the scriptures concerning Mormonism every Wednesday, probably for about a year and a half after I came to faith. And Jehovah's Witness would come knocking on my grandfather's door all the time. In fact, there was one lady who would come for probably like a decade talking to my grandpa all the time. And I eventually got to share with her and she has not come back, sadly, but I would love for her to know the Lord. And I would argue, if you took a straw poll at your church, because we did this at a men's retreat just a number of years ago. Joe was doing a teaching, and he said, hey guys, raise your hand if you're an ex-Mormon. We had some ex-Mormons there. Raise your hand if you're an ex-Catholic, and a lot of hands go up, ex-atheist, you know. And they said, raise your hand if you're an ex-Jehovah's Witness. And there was literally two hands that went up in our entire group. So we're talking about a group of people, when it comes to the Jehovah's Witness, this cult, okay, that is good at retaining, all right? There is a burden they place on people, okay? And they get you out of, I'll give you a little bit of a experience before I get into how I like to dig into the scriptures with them. I went to the Jehovah's Witness convention that happens in Long Beach with my wife and a couple of friends. And our goal was to go and share the gospel. And we literally walked up to people trying to talk with them. And they are basically told, you don't talk to those people, all right? If they start bringing this up, just ignore them. Because that's exactly what happened to us. No matter who we tried to talk to, no matter what nice suit they were wearing or whatever, over and over again, while we tried to talk to them, they just, no, whatever, you know, and they didn't want to talk to you. And so I said, wow, this really hurts my heart, you know, because that's what they're told. Don't talk to those people. Keep it hidden. I know I have children, okay, and one of the things I love to do with them, even, I don't care how young they are, is share with them the truth. I don't say, don't read that book. I say, let's read that book together and let me show you why it's wrong. Let's understand Islam. Let's understand why we don't watch these terrible things on TV. Let's understand why witchcraft is bad and I don't let you watch Frozen, okay? These things are the truth. And I don't say, oh, we have a difference of opinion. I say, no, this is right, this is wrong, and we get into them. And that's the same way we should be when it comes to false doctrines. You want to, guys, and I'm going to be doing an episode in a couple days, I believe, concerning children and making sure we raise them up in the Lord and how we make sure they don't fall away and turn away from Christ once they get out of high school or under our reins, so to speak. And so what I want to do is make sure they know the truth. So my kids typically stand next to me when I talk to the JWs at the door, and they have done that since they were infants. Okay. And I want them to know, wait, it's not simply that daddy has a different opinion. No, it's, guess what? We have the word of God and it is true. And what's good is when you have the word of God and you're able to wield it, okay, and you're able to get it out there and share it with people, it is sharper than a two-edged sword. You need to know your word if you want to share. And guys, if you are having someone knocking at your door wanting to talk about the things of God and you want to shun them away, okay, somebody is literally coming to you, Lord, please give me an opportunity to share the gospel. And somebody knocks on your door. You're like, yeah, I'm a little busy today. I mean, seriously. And this is something that happens all the time. I've had people come up to me, and it's fine. Burden is good. All right. It is good to have a burden. All right. If somebody comes to you and says, oh, I feel so guilty. They came and I was just too nervous. I didn't know what to say, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? That's a good burden to have. Let's have that burden, but let's turn that burden into movement so that next time you see them walking down the street, you stop and talk to them, because at the very least, take up some of their time. If they're unwilling to talk to you, take up some of their time. Share the gospel, share as much truth as you can, and take up some of the time, because they may not be able to knock on some door and pull someone else into their cult. It's just something to think about, okay, before we get into it. Like I said, I've kind of, over the last 10 years or so about sharing the gospel with Jehovah's Witness, I had a personal experience where I honestly was confused pretty quickly. About 6 months after I came to faith, I had gone out to Third Street Promenade with some friends and spent all night sharing the gospel until about 4 a.m. And then at 4 a.m., we came home and went to Denny's. And after we went to Denny's, we were like, hey, dude, it's almost church. We better just chill out here and wait until church starts. So we were parked at a parking lot close to our church. And a guy came up to me, and guess who it was? It was a Jehovah's Witness. He was going to come share with me. And I was like, oh, hey. And I start sharing with him. And I was a little confused because I just felt like no matter what I said, he didn't listen. He did not care. I went through Zechariah 12:10 about the Ayath and about God being the one. He'll look on me, Ayath, whom they have pierced. And I went through all those things and he just acted like I didn't say anything. And so I said, okay, Lord, after having that encounter and being half asleep, after not sleeping all night, I said, Lord, I really want to make sure I know how to share the gospel better with my JW friends. I want to know how to better share the gospel with my JW neighbors. I want them to know the truth because I know I have the truth. I know that Jesus is not the Archangel Michael, okay? I know for a fact that Jesus is God, okay? So I want to know, how can I reach them? And I studied a bunch of different ways online. I watched videos by Ray Comfort talking about it. I watched videos by Paul Washer. I believe a Paul Gia as well. All these different videos of guys sharing the gospel or giving advice. And some of them have some really good things. I remember Ray Comfort, and it's something that I've used to open up conversation. So you could use it this way as well. He says, he gets one knocking on his door. He comes to the door and he says, I have a knife in my back. I'm bleeding out. I'm about to die. What's the gospel? And a lot of the times, I just did this to a Mormon probably 3 weeks ago. They came knocking on my door, and that's what I started with. They're like, hey, I got a knife in my back. I'm bleeding out. What's the gospel? How can I be saved? What can I do to eternal life? And literally, they both looked at each other, and the guy just said, atonement. And I was like, well, okay, we can go to 1 Corinthians 15, and we can kind of get to that and dig into the word with him. Now, it's a good way to start a conversation, especially if you're nervous about how to start a conversation. That's a great way. Break the ice. What's the gospel? And then you can start going into what the gospel is. And the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, okay? And there, it's so clear. It's awesome. If you guys know any of the history behind the resurrection story there, Paul is giving the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, one of the earliest letters we have in the church. And not only is he giving it, it's something that he received first. So it predates him having that. It was something that in the church was being taught. Just really interesting stuff. But this is not a teaching on the resurrection, even though the Jehovah's Witness deny the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we will get into that in our little segment here. Okay. So if you want to start your conversation, you can start your conversation that way. Or you can start as I do. I have a question for you. Okay. I love asking questions. I love the Socratic method, if you guys know anything about that. Asking questions to them, because I like them to try to explain to me their worldview. I like for them to try to explain to me their doctrine. And if we ask the question of this, simply, okay? Easiest question ever. Who rose Jesus from the dead? Simple, right? Just ask them that. The answer will probably be, and I'm telling you, I've done this probably around 100 times. I don't know. I've heard 100 times out of 100, Jehovah. You know what you say? I totally agree. And then you open up their Bibles. And guys, before I get into it, you're going to be, if you're taking notes or you're reading along, go to Romans chapter 10. That's where I'm going to be reading from. And check this out, guys. Remember, when Jesus talked to the Sadducees, there was something that he did to them to always disprove them. Okay? He would go to the books that they read, if you notice that. The Sadducees only believed in the first five books, so that's what he would go to disprove them. I love Jesus, man. He's so awesome. He quiets their mouths. They don't have any more questions.
Living
after.
Word.
Amen to that, bro. And because he's God in the flesh. But anyways, before I get to that, I want to use their books against them. And what I'm going to be doing here in these next two verses, or not two verses, next two parts of scripture that we're going to go through, is that I've gone through their abominable translation, which is not really a translation. It is a transliteration into whatever Charles Taze Russell wanted his doctrines to teach. So he would literally be dishonest with the translation, okay? But these texts that I'm going to go to are translated in a way that we can still present Jesus as God in their own scriptures. That's why I love using this, okay? So we will go to Romans chapter 10, and we are going to read from verse 8, okay? Understand the context, understand who it's talking about, and then I'll give a little bit of background, and I'll let you know that at the end of 13, the word used in their Bible is Jehovah. So what we're going to do is we're going to step on the doctrines that they have right away, while also proving another point, okay? So, I'll start on verse 8. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth, who? Jesus as Kyrios, Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what do you say? I totally agree with you. God raised him from the dead. Jehovah raised him from the dead. In fact, let's keep going. Verse 10, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Guys, this is really, really important because we're going to see where Paul is quoting from, okay? Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all. Who's Lord? Who's the Kyrios? Oh, it's Jesus. That's right. So who's it speaking about? Jesus. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Who do you call on? You call on Jesus as Lord. Verse 13, for whoever will call on the name of the Yahweh, Jehovah, will be saved. Because that is a quote from Joel 2:32. So just from this text alone, I can prove that Jesus is Yahweh. Okay? From this text alone. But what's great is we can say, although I can prove to you just off this text alone that Jesus is Yahweh, he is not the Archangel Michael, I'm going to also prove to you, because you said, who rose Jesus from the dead? Who rose Jesus from the dead? Jehovah. What does that text say? Jesus, right? Or I'm sorry. What does that text say? God rose Jesus from the dead. Jehovah rose Jesus from the dead. So guess where we go? John chapter 2. You go to John chapter 2, verse 18. It says, the Jews then said to him, what sign do you show us as your authority for these things? And Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, in 3 days, I will raise it up. By the way, in their translation, it says, I will raise it up. They didn't get to, didn't do any fudgery there, okay? They weren't, they messed up. All right, I will raise it up. Who will? And guess who it's talking about? Who, where is your authority from? So you can't get around the context either. What authority do you have? Destroy this temple and I will raise it up. And I remember, guys, this is something that happened. I was sharing with some Jehovah's Witness right outside of my wife's grandmother's house. And when I walked up, I asked them that question. And when we came to there, I stopped at that verse. I said, oh, I destroy this temple, I will raise it up. He said, well, you see, that was speaking of the temple that was built at that time. I was like, let's keep reading,
keep
bud.
Keep reading. Yep.
It says, the Jews then said, it took us 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? Oh, sorry, that's what you just said to me. But wait a second. Verse 21, but he was speaking of the temple of his body. Quick question. Who rose Jesus from the dead? It's very, very clear. There's another text, I believe in Romans, that talks about the Holy Spirit also rising from the dead. It's because, guys, we have to understand our God is a triune God, okay? Now, this is not going to be an entire teaching on the Trinity, but this is, let's be honest, this is the marquee argument when it comes to most cults, almost every cult, all right? And one of the things you will find when it comes to Jehovah's Witness is that they not only do not understand the Trinity, but they are willfully ignorant about what you believe about it. A lot of Jehovah's Witness, when they come to you, will ask you questions that we would ask a modalist. What is a modalist? Maybe a Oneness Pentecostal, a UPC, you might have heard of those things. Okay, somebody who does not believe in the triune Godhead, but is Unitarian in their belief. Okay, we are both monotheistic. The problem is they don't understand the difference between being in person. Hood, being in personhood. All right. So I know there are a ton of analogies that people love to go to, okay, when it comes to the Trinity. Now, I try my absolute best to stay away from a lot of analogies. One, because a lot of them teach modalism. Somebody will come to you and say, hey, I'm a father, a husband, and a son. That's like the Trinity. No, that's modalism. That's like Jesus putting on different modes. The Father becomes the Son. The Father becomes the Spirit. Okay, that is not what the Bible teaches. Jesus was very clear that he must leave so that the Comforter may come. Not I must put on a new mask and become the Comforter, but that he would actually leave to go to the right hand of the Father. Okay, we need to make sure that we understand the difference. We need to recognize that as the doctrine of Antichrist, okay? It was the doctrine of Antichrist. 1 John chapter 2 is so abundantly clear on that. What is Antichrist? Somebody who denies the Father and the Son, and that you cannot have one without the other. It's very, very clear. So this doctrine of Jehovah's Witnessism, All right. This, their doctrines, guys, are completely foreign to scripture, obviously, but it's not a new lie. This is very similar to Arianism at the Council of Nicaea and what they were fighting against, okay? It's not exactly the same, but it's very, very similar to what they were fighting against at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. So it's not something that is so foreign that we just, oh man, I don't understand, but we have to be serious about understanding our scriptures, okay? There's another text I love to go to because that will start a discussion, guys. A lot of times that will start the discussion. And it will also end a lot of discussions. In fact, when I shared this with my grandfather's friend who had been visiting him for probably over a decade, I shared with her this. I went to Genesis, with Sodom and Gomorrah, where it says, the Yahweh rained down fire from the Yahweh who was on the earth. And I said, look, it's so abundantly clear here, guys. It is so abundantly clear, especially when we go and read these scriptures. And a lot of people will be like, you know, Muslims have a lot of argumentation. Well, I don't see anywhere where Jesus says this and the Trinity is not described in any one verse and all this stuff. Dude, we are talking about what makes God God, okay? We are talking about what makes God God and who he is as a being. I mean, I can't even understand atoms, you know, I can't understand galaxies, but then the creator of the universe, obviously there are going to be things that I don't necessarily fully grasp and understand. The Bible, it's really cool. I love in Proverbs 25, it tells us that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the honor of kings to search it out, okay? That's one of the things that we want to do. We want to search things out. It's God's glory to conceal a matter. And for us to look through the oracles of God, look through God's word and say, I want to know your truths. I want to see, God, how is Jesus divine? It's so abundantly clear, especially in John's gospel. In fact, when it comes to the apologetics on the wrong end, okay, the Bart Ehrmans of the world had to come up with these ideas because the Gospel of John is so abundantly clear that Jesus is God. It's the very first verse. In Harkayan and Alagas and Prostante an Alagas. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later we see that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Nothing came into being but by him. So, of course, the Jehovah's Witness would put a God there in verse 1. And if you guys don't know why they put a God in John 1:1. One of their argumentations is that it does not call Jesus ho theos. It just says in prothosteon in alagos. It just calls him theos, not ho theos. So we're looking for the God. But if you look at scripture, you will see over and over again, it calls him ho kyrios, the Lord. He is the Lord. But there is a text, a very important text, where Jesus is called ho theos. If you go to John chapter 20, verse 28, and I would actually go to verse 27, and maybe you guys don't know this, but they do not believe that Jesus rose bodily. They believe he rose in spirit. So I believe John 20, 27 also does a number to them. Actually, I'll go to 26. It says, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here with your hand and put it in my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. That's really hard to not have a bodily resurrection with him telling Thomas, doubting Thomas, to touch his body, okay? Verse 28, Thomas answered and said to him, ho kyrios mou, Kai ho theos mu. You hear that, ho theos? So the argument they have against John 1:1 gets thrown out just by John 20:28 alone. Okay, not to mention, guys, you don't have to be an expert on Greek. These are simply verses that myself, I've memorized, I've listened to scholars to make sure I have an understanding of what these texts are trying to say. Okay, and when this verse comes up, John 20:28, why? But why? What would the Jehovah's Witness have to say about that? Thomas clearly calls him my God, the Lord of me, ho kyrios mou, the Lord of me, mou, kai, and ho theos mou, the God of me, okay? He is his God, just like he's your God. If you truly know the Lord, it's a personal relationship that you have with him. He's ho kyrios mou, kai ho theos mou. He is your God. He is your Lord, okay? He's torn the veil that we can go directly to the Father. This is who we have. We have Jesus Christ, God incarnate, okay? These are verses absolutely positively Jehovah's Witness cannot answer under their line of teaching, okay? And this verse is very important. And what does Jehovah's Witness say? Oh no, he was just so shocked that he said, he basically blasphemed. Remember the context once again. And what's great? We don't need to go that far to find the context, okay? Verse 27 says, do not be unbelieving, but believe. And after Thomas then answered him, after touching him, after feeling him and saying, my Lord and my God, not a spirit, he actually touched him. Remember, what is the Antichrist also? That Jesus didn't come in the flesh, by the way. But I know that that's concerning his first coming. But nonetheless, verse 29, Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who do not see and yet believed. So you're telling me, JW, you're telling me that Jesus just heard blasphemy, that he was called Hotheos, the God, by Thomas, and blessed is he who would blaspheme? May it never be. That's absolute nonsense, guys.
Not to mention he sat and ate with them. So he ate food and drank.
Oh, you're talking about, yeah, with the body, yeah, amen.
With the body, yeah.
Yeah, amen, bro. And I think it's great because, guys, this is literally scratching the surface. I just spent a half hour on this. This is scratching the surface of how wrong their doctrine is. But, guys, this is a great segue. You could use this. I hope you're encouraged to use this as a way to start the conversation. Because then we can get into the hypostatic union. Then we can get into the Trinity. I don't really want to use the analogies, but I'll give you one that I've used in the past. But please don't think that this is the end-all, be-all, and that I'm just some great guy or something, and that I understand the unity of the Trinity, and I understand the beings and like better than everyone else. No, it's just something I've used in my head, and I've used a number of years, in fact, with Muslims, and I've used with JWs. I used the same one. One time I was sharing the gospel with some Jehovah's Witness, and I had a Lakers jersey on. Yeah, I am a Lakers fan, but I had a Lakers jersey on. And sometimes I share with Muslims if they're soccer fans. I got to meet at the time I met him, he actually had the most Twitter followers in the world, named Ricardo Kaká. And one of the ways that I've explained the Trinity best I could was, hey, I'm a Lakers fan. At the time, Shaq and Kobe weren't on the team anymore. I think it was just Kobe. But let's say we have it now, okay? Because they got their three stars now. All right. I said, hey, you know, I'm a Lakers fan. How many Lakers teams are there? There's one Lakers team. And I'll give this as quick as possible because I think I only got about a minute. So there's one Lakers team, okay? Only one Lakers team, right? How many Lakers teams? One. Okay, fine. All right, LeBron James, is he on the Lakers? Yes, he is. Okay, perfect. Is Anthony Davis on the Lakers? Oh, yes, he is. That was a great trade. DeMarcus Cousins, he's on the Lakers, right? Yeah, okay. I'm like, all right, is there the LeBron Jameses, the Anthony Davises, and the DeMarcus Cousins? No, that's not how that works. Okay, there are three, but guess what? They're part of the one team. That is the one Lakers, okay? And this is very similar in Scripture, where you read from Deuteronomy 6, where it says, Hear, Israel, the Lord thy God, thy Lord is Echad. The Lord is one. It's the same word used to the two shall become flesh, right? When it talks about the husband and the wife coming together and being married, and the two shall be Echad. It's the same exact word used. So it can be used in a composite unity. Same thing with there's only Echad Lakers, even though there's multiple players within the Lakers. I know that's a quick summary as best as I could, but guys, there's a ton of different ways that you can share the gospel, love them into the kingdom. The greatest thing that scares me when it comes to this doctrine is John 8:58 and John 8:24. John 8:58 says that, guess what? Before Abraham was, ego eimi, and worse off, John 8:24, and that's the great I am, Jesus that's how Yahweh explains himself in the book of Exodus. But John 8:24 is what I usually end them with, and I want you to end them with this. John 8:24, Jesus said, if you do not believe, ego eimi, you will die in your sins. I don't want them to die in their sins. Please share with them. Please share with them. In Jesus' name. You've been listening to The Good Fight Radio Show. This has been Chad Davidson and Tony Palacio. God bless.
You've been listening to The Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at goodfight.org, where we feature articles, videos, and life-changing resources on DVD and CD. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us in continuing to deliver powerful biblical content, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.